Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
So I'm Beth Banks, and I'm the senior minister for this congregation, and Reverend Morgan McLean, the minister for congregational life, is right over there, and she's participating with her family today, so we're just encouraging her to be a mom today. But Morgan's brother, Corey, is here, and he is taking some of the parts that Morgan would take so that she can be a mom today.
This is a poem called "The Wonder All Around Us" by Reverend Scott Taylor. Look, friends, to the sky, to the stars that dance with this tiny globe on which we travel. Look to the horizon, the tree line, the expanse of wide open fields, to this living, breathing earth that makes our living and breathing possible. Look at the faces that surround you, and notice what a wonder it is that we don't have to walk this world alone. All of it is a miracle. All of it deserves awe. May this time we spend together illuminate the astonishing preciousness of it all.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, all the sorrows that may not be spoken, we light one pillar candle. And to acknowledge the joys that also live beside those sorrows and happen simultaneously for us, we light a pillar candle. And this Sunday, we have the pleasure of having the Julie Bells playing. And sometimes this group is also Davis Community Church and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. So I want to acknowledge that this is an interfaith effort, which is really wonderful. And so welcome this Sunday, and we will have a special appreciation for you and for Barbara Meixner, who was the inspiration for this, and for Linda Burse, who is directing this morning.
The chalice lighting reading was written by the Reverend David Usher. Open your hearts to the wonder of worship. Open your minds to the eternal quest for meaning and truth. Open your eyes to the miracle of creation. Open your arms to the embrace of human care. Open your souls and let the divine sweep in.
I think the divine is among us today. So Advent begins 4 weeks before Christmas, and it names our yearning for living when hope and peace and joy and love support everything, including the living earth. So each Sunday we light one more candle on the wreath, which represents the ongoing cycle of life. And this Sunday we will light a candle for love, which could not be more appropriate. And so we light one candle for hope, the first Sunday of Advent. We light one candle for peace, the second Sunday of Advent. And we light a third candle for joy, the third Sunday of Advent. And the fourth is for today, love. We wait for love that accepts each other in the fullness of who we are and all of who we are, who asks questions to understand more completely, a love that sees beauty in both our differences and our shared humanity. We are waiting for a love that accepts the fullness of all of our lives. And I invite you to repeat after me. We are waiting.
We are waiting.
We are ready for love.
We are
There are two families involved in this service, and I see one. Where is there a second family here? They are not here today. Okay. So this service is about family and what is sacred in our families. Every year, different people speak about what is precious or sacred about their family. And every family is unique and contains within it what could be known as sacred. That could be the adoption of a baby or a family with a birth. It could be a chosen family, a family of friends. We know how to gather people around us to create family. And I invite you to join in a responsive reading, and I will read one set of words, and you are asked to respond. For so the children come, and so they have been coming.
Always in the same way they come, born of the seed of humanity.
No angels herald their beginnings. No prophets predict their future courses.
No wise ones see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind.
Yet each night a child is born is a holy night.
Parents sitting inside their children's cribs feel glory in sight of a new life beginning.
They ask where and how will this new life end, or will it ever end?
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing,
So this morning we celebrate a new baby among us, and in the future we will celebrate yet another family. A child naming ceremony in a Unitarian Universalist tradition is about radical love. We believe that a child comes into this world filled with possibilities. We are born with a spark of the divine within our being, and the people and the circumstances around us help to shape who we will become. And in this ceremony, we recognize the possibilities in each child, the importance of the parent relationship, and, that's right, the dedication required of this congregation. That was your charge. We agreed to live our best ideals as an example for these children. And so at this time, I invite the parents, Daniel Kirsch and Morgan McLean and Mertiel Kirsch McLean, to come forward here. Just so you know, we use water in this ceremony that has been carefully microwaved, remembering the community in-gathering water communion in September. The water that each individual brings to that September service represents our summer experiences of new learning and connection, and these connections are life-giving as the water itself. And in this ceremony, we will also use flowers, roses. They are central for the flower communion in late spring, and the message is honoring our unique abilities and the importance of giving and receiving to one another. And the thorns on these roses have been removed because, to the best of our ability, we protect our youngest children. But they will receive roses again when they are older, and when the youth graduate from high school, they will receive roses with thorns and with gardening gloves. We cannot protect our children forever, although we would wish it could be so. But we hope that here among us, they will learn important values to be resilient in life. And so, if you could come my way, O parents. What is the name of this child?
Mertiel Kirsch McLean.
Mertiel Kirsch McLean, you are precious and you are unique. There is no one else like you in the entire world. And so, this should be interesting. Mertiel Kirsch McLean, I bless you with this water. I touch your forehead that your thoughts may be informed and enlightened. I touch your lips, that your words may be fair and wise, and I touch your hands, that your deeds may be just and loving. And the congregation, do you remember the sign language for beloved? Left hand over your heart, and then your right hand over that. It's hard to do that and hold all of this. Beloved, beloved. Surely this is a beloved relationship. So, Daniel, I'm going to give this to you because I think you can do that work. Children are born with the essence of who they will become already within them. So how that essence comes to bloom reflects the caring of their parents and the community around them. The congregation has the delight and the responsibility to care for and support these children and their families. And so I invite you to read the unison reading. It is on unit order service, but it also will appear above you on the monitors. And join with me. As a congregation, we will remember the wishes of those who parent you. We will help care for you and know the peace of truth, love, and compassion. We will be open to the ways we learn from you as you grow in our midst. In this way, we dedicate ourselves to you. And so we are going to, it's okay, we're going to do some parts again. So parents, and why don't you come on down, and you'll come back when we get to that part of the service again. So come on down. I'm so glad you're here. I was worried about you. Perfect. So we have started the welcome, and we're so glad to begin with you again. So you will hear me do a naming of each child. What is the name of this child?
Quinn Branton McFarland.
Quinn Branton McFarland, you are precious and unique. There was no one else like you in the whole world. Quinn, I bless you with this water. So you haven't seen this before, but just trust me. Okay, I trust your forehead here, that your thoughts may be informed and enlightened, and I touch your lips just gently there, okay, that your words may be fair and wise, and I touch your hands, that your deeds may be just and loving. Hold this one, or your mom can. Mom? And what is the name of this child?
Kai Weston McFarland.
Kai Weston McFarland, you are precious and you are unique. And there is no one else like you in the whole world. So Kai Weston McFarland, I bless you with this water. I touch your forehead, that your thoughts may be informed and enlightened. I touch your lips just a little bit. I know it's going to tickle, sorry. That your words may be fair and wise. And I touch your hands, or at least one of them, that your deeds may be just and loving. And maybe you can pass that on. And what is the name of this child?
This is Bodie Hayes McFarland.
Bodie Hayes McFarland. You are precious and unique. And there is no one else like you in the whole world. I bless you with this water, Bodhi. I touch your forehead. Sorry about the baby's breath. That your thoughts may be informed and enlightened. I touch your lips. That your words may be fair and wise. And I touch your hand. That your deeds may be just and loving. Congregation, can you make the sign for beloved for this family? And can our other family come and join us now? And because we have another family here, would you do the response again? Let's do it again. As a congregation, We will remember the wishes of those who parent you. We will care for you and help you know ways of truth, love, and compassion. We will be open to the things we can learn from you as you grow in our midst. In this way, we dedicate ourselves to you. And so stay right where you are, if you would. The quilting group from this congregation makes baby quilts and beautiful pillowcases as a gift. So as your children sleep under these covers, these colors, may their dreams be filled with peace and promise. And may we give gratefulness to those from the quilting group who presented them to us. This is for Mutil, and it has many of the animals that live on these grounds. Mutil, isn't that wonderful? And these are for your dreams. These are for your dreams. And they are pillowcases. Beautiful pillowcases. There you go. All right. And is this not a beautiful scene? And now may all of our hearts be open to the children of all generations so that the circle of love and peace can grow forevermore. And parents, you can have a seat and know that I have your certificates. Or two. Some of those things are definitely worth doing a couple of times on one Sunday. And if you have a child who is a part of this congregation of any age and you would like them to have a ceremony, please speak with Morgan or with me. And so now we sing our children's blessing. And so today we continue a theme of love. And you will hear that theme, although it wasn't planned exactly as it will be revealed. You will hear a story about moving across the country for the sake of love. So Bill and Karen and Mertio.
I hear tell that taking a chance is the way to go when awe matters. Chances, we only get so many, and awe being that place where fear and amazement meet. Awe is an active choice. It doesn't just happen to us. We actually have to reach out and open the door. Unsure of what is on the other side, fear and amazement. I also hear tell that change is inevitable and we must let go and embrace it.
I had the rare opportunity to continue parenting my three children into their late 20s and early 30s. It didn't matter. They were the people in my life who I spent time with, who I hung out with. They were my friends. Eventually, they needed their independence, and one by one, left my life, and the Holy Family was gone. I fell into a routine of wash, rinse, repeat, which included work, projects, and a lot of channel surfing. Though I had a wife, her career left me alone 3 to 6 months out of the year, taking care of the dogs and the house. I used to joke I was the dog with the thumb. One day out of the blue, she decided she didn't want to be married anymore, and I found myself completely alone, and yes, she got the dogs.
I was at a point of comfort and routine, living alone yet connected with my adult children, church, friends, and my dogs. Although certainly not wash, rinse, repeat, there was a sense of security.
Not knowing what to do next, I spent a lot more time channel surfing. And then one day I decided to contact an old friend from high school. Karen. There have been a lot of changes in my life. Do you have time for a call?
You're not selling Amway, are you? Little did I know that this was a chance I could have missed, a life-changing moment. And I'm so glad I reached for that door.
And little did I know this was the chance I could have missed, a life-changing moment. Over hundreds of text messages, phone calls, and trips between coasts, we fell madly in love and are now married nearly a year.
We both tumbled through emotional trials, excitement, planning, questioning, dreaming, an exercise in jumping and falling and faith. And it changed both of us. Jumping, faith. From the moment we opened that door, we chose to believe that this could just be the love of our lives, the great love of our lives. I eventually, translation being last week, realized that my kids had already let go of the old version of family, and they had already moved on. I was thinking they didn't really see me, and then I realized I didn't see me. What I do doesn't necessarily affect my kids, and I'm in charge of how they affect me. Change is simply inevitable. Family is supposed to stretch into a new shape, the interdependent web that shifts. My family of origin are mostly acquaintances, and my kids are doing their own thing, and my close relationships are with friends and my husband.
What was amazing about my trips to Wooden wasn't merely finding the love of my life, but a community of people that surrounded her. She had a holy family of her choosing. You all have embraced me and are now part of my holy family.
Letting go of sameness, traditions, and even connections can free us to open the doors to joy and then take an active role in awe. What an interesting time we're having in these pre-elderly years. Defining our wants and needs and wishes, it really is time to choose us, to be in love and to feel delight.
And open lots of doors.
Peggy and I are relatively new to Davis in this church. We moved here in the fall of 2017 from Dodge City, Kansas. We came here to be with our family, our oldest son and his wife, and two grandkids. They live in Davis, and our youngest son lives in Sacramento. The young grandsons were growing up fast, and we were invited to come and help out, so it seemed like a good idea when retirement finally came. Our real sadness in leaving Kansas was leaving behind our dream house that we built, a straw bale home that was artistically designed and built by family and friends.
A side note here is that we still own the house, and we've put it on VRBO. So if you know of anyone needing a place to stay in Kansas or the Midwest, oh, please come talk to us. When you make the choice of what to do, stay in your dream house or go live with your loved ones, well, the loved ones won that decision.
You might think that it was a real shock to move to California from the prairies of Kansas, but it was good to find so many people who share our beliefs and values about what is important to us. Spiritual thoughts, social justice issues, environmental concerns, we're no longer a minority like we were in Kansas. So here we are in Davis, California. We get to be real grandparents in the flesh instead of FaceTiming Sundays. Was the sacrifice worth it? Was the hard work of transitioning from point A to point B worth it? What does it mean to be grandparents down the street rather than FaceTime on Sundays?
We could tell you how absolutely wonderful it is to be with our loved ones, But you probably already expected us to say that. You would hear that from us. So instead, we will share with you the details, the nitty-gritty of what grandparenting for us really looks like.
It seems important to just be there for the kids. Having an attentive ear is good, but sometimes just being present is enough. Playing with them in activities of their choosing happens more times than not.
Richard makes an outstanding firefighter at play. He has mastered all the sounds of the sirens, smoking fire, water spewing forth from hoses. It is drama that does not contain itself to one room, and it can go on for hours.
Peg transported her to a children's library, to a small cottage, and it happens that we all settle down on the couch for reading stories.
It's very important to pull out the old, well-used toys and games that our sons loved in their youth. Specifically, the old cooperative games of the 1970s and the 80s, like Save the Whales. The Fisher-Price toys, you know, the garage, the airport, those cannot be matched with anything new and shiny of today.
It's important to keep the arts alive for our kids, so we like to play music and introduce them to a variety of styles. Recently, we discovered that we elevated to the status of cool when we pulled out the cassette tape player and cassette tapes. To think that this machine went forwards and backwards and one could record his own voice or more favorite songs was just awesome.
It also seems important to plant seeds, literally and figuratively. With this amazing California weather and being in ag country, it's a no-brainer to plant a garden with the kids. Richard and I have joined the Quaker group that meets at the corner of 5th and B every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. You know, the group that holds the signs that says peace is possible and war is not the answer. This is something that we firmly believe, and we want our offspring to know that it is important in defining our lives. Occasionally, when the grandkids stay with us, they have to go with us. But our 9-year-old just doesn't understand it. Grandma, why would you stand there for an hour holding a sign? Well, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain now. But the seed has been planted, and hopefully someday he will come to understand.
Being grandparents is really not difficult at all. The overriding rule is to love them unconditionally and spare any advice to the parents.
So you hear advice to everyone in these words. And so I invite you into a time of prayer and reflection, knowing that we will end this prayer with verse 2 of when our heart is in a holy place and you don't have to worry, the words will appear on the monitors. And if you don't know the melody, hum along. So breathe just a little bit in this season of busyness. Just take a moment. And hear the rain. And think about the holiness in your family. May we create holy places wherever we go and find what is sacred and precious in the people who surround us, whether they are relatives in a family who share our name and heritage, or those who are lovingly adopted, or receive the shelter of a foster home. For all those who are within the embrace of our care, for families where there is estrangement May there come a time of peace. For families created by friends, know that you add comfort and strength to every life. There are people who are holy and unique and giving and surprising in every place, and especially in a place like this one, right here in this sanctuary. We show we care by celebrating together, by laughing together, and being with each other when times are hard. We always show love by slowing down enough to really listen, to really listen to each other. And so in this moment, slow down. Listen to the rain, to your own breath. To the breath of the person next to you. Listen. Listen. When we tell our stories and others listen, listen with an open mind. We belong to a family of humankind, families of single people and couples, some with children and some without. And so we sing. When our heart is in a holy place, verse 2, just seated, opening our hearts to each other, those around us. Each of us is a part of an intricate web of relationships. And when one of us celebrates a joy or grieves a loss, the web of life moves to a new shape. We are a part of the turn of the earth, the shift of the stars, the pull of the sea, and all change. Extinguish the pillar candle of sorrows, hoping that by our time here today, they are lighter than when you first came through the door. And even our joys, maybe carry them with us and have them give us strength. And the chalice. Until we meet again in this space. You can take hands or take a shoulder. It is flu season, so not everyone's eager to take a hand. Whatever feels comfortable. These closing words are by Mark Bellatini and inspired by David Rico.
I am part of history. I am connected to a family and forebears.
I am part of humanity. I am heir to all that humans have brought into the world.
I am a part of nature. I am what the stars are. Let this gathering say amen.
Amen.